Who are these militant atheists? Who are they to redefine the character of Canada? And will we, as the body of Christ, allow that to happen on our watch? We have a call today to stand up for the kingdom of God and for our rights as citizens in Canada to see our freedoms of religion respected in this country. And I fear the consequence if we simply roll over.
On the feature interview today, James Lunny, a 15-year member of parliament who quit the Conservative caucus over the Easter break in a stand for freedom of religion. We talk about his reasons for leaving the party, his impressions of Stephen Harper, and more. On the news portion of the program, a new tool for local ARPA chapters in the discussion about end-of-life care, and ARPA is expanding again. We talked to a couple of new staff members.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Lighthouse News took a break over the Easter holiday, and while we were on that break, there was big news out of Ottawa. Dr. James Lunny, the Member of Parliament for Nanaimo-Alberni on Vancouver Island, announced on the day before Good Friday that he was leaving the Federal Conservative Caucus. His departure came after a Twitter controversy, which we detailed on the program last month. The controversy started when Dr. Lunny insisted that evolution was not a fact, but rather a scientific theory. He was vilified on social media and on a number of editorial pages, and on the day before Good Friday, he announced his resignation from caucus. Lunny said his resignation was voluntary, he wasn't asked to step aside, but that he wanted to spare the Conservative Party the embarrassment of having to defend his views. He told Brian Lilly in a Rebel Media video interview that his case is but one example of the way social conservatives are being marginalized in Canada today.
I have stepped out voluntarily because I'm not running again. I'm sitting as an independent, and it's not just the Federal Conservative Party. It's social conservatives at any level are going to be attacked on this false construct based on a false interpretation of modern science. But it's far beyond even the evolution controversy. We have doctors on conscience provisions being sidelined. I mean, freedom of religion and conscience are foundational in our charter. They're called fundamental rights. Fundamental. And yet they're being challenged in an unprecedented way. College of Physicians and Surgeons here in Ontario has already ruled that those conscience provisions no longer apply and doctors are having to sue for their charter rights. We have Trinity Western University. Their own law society is being lobbied to cut out a faith-based school from practicing law. This is discrimination against my Christian community in an unprecedented way.
We'll have more from Dr. Lunny later in the program, an exclusive interview with Lighthouse News. From time to time, we talk about events or ideas that local ARPA chapters have used to promote the organization. One such event was held in Hamilton recently, an evening of discussion about a Christian perspective on palliative and end-of-life care. Colin Postma heads the Hamilton ARPA chapter.
We had three individuals, Helen Hart, who's a palliative nurse, as well as Dr. Andre Muleman, who's a physician specializing in palliative care, and Rick Ludwig, who's a funeral director, and they each kind of spoke about various aspects of the subject. And basically, they talked about palliative care, that it's kind of a specialized medical care for people with serious illnesses. The idea is that it focuses on providing patients with relief from the symptoms, pain, physical stress, and mental stress of serious illness. And the goal of this kind of therapy is to improve quality of life for both the patient and the family.
One of the things that kept coming up at the event, Colin says, was the notion that our technical capability to extend life has expanded a lot in recent years. This poses some serious questions for people, including families, facing end-of-life decisions.
Looking at those kinds of questions of just because we can keep them alive, should we keep them alive? That was something that they said. It does come down to having and holding a family discussion about these things long before it comes down to a critical spot where you're standing in the surgical room saying, what do we do? There needs to be something in place, a plan in place where the individual takes that initiative and says, this is what I want to have happen to me. This is the steps that I want to see at the end of my life. Particularly, they said, in the case of people who might have close relatives who are not Christian or who would not subscribe to the same worldview or, you know, same views on euthanasia as they would.
These same speakers are available to other ARPA chapters who might want to replicate this event. There's also a full audio recording of the evening for anyone who's interested in using the points that were brought up as a discussion starter in a local ARPA chapter. You can contact Nikki Pennings at the ARPA office for more details. Speaking of the ARPA office, We're growing again. The Ottawa office is expanding from a 10 by 12 space where Andre Schutten's been working, mainly by himself, to a new office with more than 900 square feet of space. That's to make room for a new staffer. You may recall that earlier this year, ARPA was advertising for a policy analyst. The job's been filled now by Colin Postma. Yes, the Colin Postma you just heard from in connection with that palliative care seminar in Hamilton. He's moving to Ottawa this summer to take on that policy analyst position.
There'll be a lot of research and writing that's involved with that, producing articles, looking at policy reports, government submissions, lots of different things like that, and providing oversight and analysis of those different things. And then it'll also involve communicating those policy ideas to our grassroots, as well as discussing it with government officials. So there'll be some lobbying that's involved with that, as well as some public speaking and kind of doing some of the grassroots organizational things that some of the other staff members are already doing.
Colin brings a university education in political science and Canadian history to the position, which starts early next month. You might also remember that ARPA was advertising for another position a few months back, a part-time assistant to We Need a Law's Mike Schutten. That job's been filled, too.
I've always been interested in the work that ARPA's doing, and then the We Need a Law campaign specifically. I've always been following along what they're doing, and obviously I'm passionate about children and making sure that Canada has a law to protect the unborn as well.
That's Annette Nienhuis, mid-20s, lives on BC's Lower Mainland. She'll be helping out Mike Schutten in the We Need a Law office.
Throughout last year, it became apparent that we could use some more help, specifically in the research area. Last year, we were blessed to be able to hire Nikki Pennings. She has been a great asset. She does a lot of the administrative stuff, planning meetings, planning events, planning tours, all of that kind of thing. But more and more, I've been out on the road doing some talking, meeting with government officials, and it came to the point where we need more and deeper research material that's our own as we go into some of these meetings and some of these events. So I approached the ARPA board and said, what do you think if I would propose a very part-time assistant, somebody who lived nearby who could do some research, as well as a few other small tasks for us?
So what does all this growth mean? ARPA's executive director, Mark Penninga, says it's certainly not growth for its own sake, and it's not happening in a vacuum.
Our hope is, and this is something we sure invite our listeners to hold us accountable to, our hope is that as an organization, we use the resources we've been blessed with in the same way that all individuals are called to use them. So to do so as stewards to the Lord. This means not just making wise decisions about things like hiring, but also making wise decisions with the current staff and the skills that we do have in place. From about 7 or 8 years ago when we started till today, our model has always been that we don't just strive to grow. Instead, that we strive to do our work as faithfully and as effectively as possible. The growth has happened simply because Canadians, especially the Reformed Church community, has said we want this to continue to function and even to grow. And so the increasing size of ARPA is not something that we see as a result of us really making that our first and primary goal, not at all. We're in fact often just overwhelmed at the way in which the Communion of Saints has blessed us, and we strive to use the finances, but also the skills and time and everything else in a way that really shows it's a gift. It's not something to be taken for granted at all.
When we come back, an exclusive interview with Dr. James Lunny on his decision to leave the Federal Conservative Caucus to sit as an independent MP in defense of his Christian worldview.
Please save the date for the National March for Life in Ottawa on Thursday, May 14th. We will be sending more details in the coming weeks. So if you don't already receive our emails, please sign up at arpacanada.ca. We hope to see you in Ottawa for the Reformed Prayer Service and March for Life on Thursday, May 14th.
As you heard on the news, Stephen Harper's Conservative caucus lost a long-standing member on the Thursday before Good Friday. The MP for Nanaimo, Alberni, Dr. James Lunny, announced his decision to quit the caucus. Some background is in order here. Dr. Lunny became embroiled in some online controversy over his Christian views on macroevolution. It started when what he calls an internet troll asked him whether he believed in science, whether or not he agreed with Charles Darwin. Lunny, who has a degree in zoology and is also a chiropractor, responded that, strictly speaking, evolution was a theory, especially in respect to the question of origins of life. that new evidence in the study, for example, of the human genome and cell structure is making it increasingly preposterous to think that humans are the end result of an evolutionary process or chance without any input from a creator. He was roundly criticized for that position in social media, on the CBC, and elsewhere. And on Thursday, April 2nd, the day before Good Friday, he announced he was leaving the Conservative Party to sit as an independent. Reading from his press release, and I'm quoting, "My remarks were inflated by media, blended with other unrelated but alleged heretical statements, and became a top story on national media, creating a firestorm of criticism and condemnation." Further from the release announcing his departure, this: "Given the circling trolls, I do not intend to entangle the most multiracial, multicultural, and multi-faith caucus in parliamentary history in my decision to defend my beliefs." I had a chance to sit down face-to-face with Dr. Lunny at his constituency office in Nanaimo on the Tuesday after his resignation.
So I got to ask, did James Lunny dump or was he pushed?
No, I absolutely, voluntarily stepped out of my caucus because as an independent MP, I could have these conversations. I'm not running again. I announced more than a year ago I wasn't running again.
You said you wanted to be free to defend your beliefs and your Christian worldview. Of course, that's kind of fundamental to this whole discussion. How does your worldview impact your role as a parliamentarian? Beyond the obvious stuff, the evolutionism, the abortion question, things like that, I guess it's another way of asking, what do you say to people who insist that religion and politics should be completely separate? Is that even possible?
Oh, it's like asking someone to leave their intestines out of the House of Commons or come to work without your heart or your liver or your kidneys. You can't separate your faith from who you are. And certainly I don't see any attempt for militant atheists to leave their views behind or any other faith. Man, we're the most multiracial, multicultural, multi-belief community in the world. We're a beacon to the world of tolerance for difference and diversity. We don't scrutinize anybody else's beliefs. We don't know what most of them are. We celebrate diversity in Canada, except for Christians. And it seems that there's a deliberate attempt by militant atheists to replace Christianity, a Christian worldview, with their view.
I'm sure you've heard it in your time in Parliament. There's Christians out there who look at politics and say, you know, it's a dirty business. Christians don't have any business even being in there. They're going to look at this James Lunny situation and say, see, we told you.
Now look, as Christians, we believe there's a king and a kingdom that will surpass Canada, will surpass prime ministers and presidents. Kingdoms of this world are going to come and go, but at the end, there'll be a kingdom. And the book tells us that we are to work with the king to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. Politics is a kingdom, medicine's a kingdom, law is a kingdom, and there is no one in Canada has the right to try and kick Christians out of any of those realms of influence while we have freedom of religion in Canada, and I think that's something worth fighting for.
Do we still have freedom of religion in Canada? I mean, the Trinity case is but one example. The whole Legal Leaders for Diversity, you're familiar with that. I mean, there's quite an assault going on.
Who are these militant atheists? Who are they? Who are they to impose their worldview using evolutionism, which is uses scientific language, but science has gone way past what they can support by materialistic and naturalistic process? Who are they to redefine the character of Canada? And will we, as the body of Christ, allow that to happen on our watch? We have a call today to stand up for the kingdom of God and for our rights as citizens in Canada to see our freedoms of religion respected in this country. And I fear the consequence if we simply roll over, stay in our clubhouses, which is what they want, while they poison our children's minds with a false construct of evolutionism, which is being taught as fact when it's a theory, then that will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it doesn't have to be that way in my worldview, because our God is much bigger and much smarter than any militant atheist and his false construct. You might have heard me say it in another construct, but I think people in the church need to hear it. There was a big man in another era who put himself between God and his purposes, and God and his people. And all it took was an unlikely warrior armed with a small stone to take down a military man who was a giant in his day and end his career. We had a member of parliament from British Columbia not so long ago stood in the House of Commons to introduce a bill to take God out of the Constitution. And that member of parliament, he had a problem when a small stone fell into his pocket and it ended his political career. And the one thing that can confound and defeat the militant atheists who want to expunge a Christian worldview is the living stones in the body of Christ. So it's our challenge to stand up and make sure that Canada remains free and that God is welcome in Canada, because we take our place as we're commanded to do by the King.
One other question. You spent about 15 years as an MP. During that time, you've presumably gotten to know Stephen Harper quite well. He's, you know, professes to be a Christian, and I certainly won't pass any judgment on that. But there's some social conservatives who have expressed some frustration that Mr. Harper isn't conservative enough for them on social issues, that he's too focused on electability at the expense of taking more principled stand on some of the big social conservative issues. Is he walking a tightrope? Is your situation right now evidence of the kind of tightrope that he's walking?
Stephen Harper is the best prime minister, I believe, probably in Canada's history, and probably one of the strongest leaders in the world today, because he is a solid, principled man. He's also very pragmatic. Look, people that hold to our Christian worldview perhaps are not a majority in Canada anymore. And if it is, the church seems to be divided between this political camp and that. So he has to reach out to a base beyond our core base of people who are perhaps more of the faith community is perhaps on our side. We certainly have a lot of people of faith in my caucus. I love the brothers in that caucus. And I think people would be interested to know that we do have a prayer breakfast every Wednesday morning. October the 22nd, when Parliament was attacked, a number of us had met up in the parliamentary restaurant where we meet every week for prayer that morning, and I think it probably changed the dynamics of the attack that happened a few hours later. The morning of April the 1st was a Wednesday morning. We also met up there. It was the Wednesday before our caucus meeting, of course, before Easter, before Good Friday. So we had communion together that morning. And we had a precious fellowship up there in the House of Commons, where we invite God to come into the House, and all parties are represented there. You know, we don't usually talk about what goes on at these things too much, but I think for the Christian body, you should know that there are believers actually in all parties, although it seems that it's only Christians in the conservative camp that are being attacked by this merciless, brutal, ignorant attack, and it's bigoted is the right word for it, from militant atheists and people who believe a false construct that needs to be called what it is, a religion based on science, but it's no longer tenable according to scientific precepts that have gone right past where evolutionism is parked.
So what's next for James Lang?
Hey, I'm going to remain busy till my term's finished, and we'll see what comes next.
Thank you.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production manager, Brian Grimm. Technical director, Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpaccanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.